Grant us your aid as we do that tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, will you, please, to 2 Kings and chapter 4. 2 Kings and chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 42. 2 Kings, chapter 4, starting to read from verse 42. A man came from Baal Shalishah, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. "Give it to the people to eat," Elisha said. "How can I set this before 100 men?" his servant asked. But Elisha answered, "Give it to the people to eat. For this is what the Lord says, they will eat and have some left over." Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. Last Sunday evening, we were looking at the verses immediately preceding the ones we're looking at tonight. In the NIV, they're entitled Death in the Pot, and we saw how one of the prophets went out into the fields in order to collect gourds so that he might cut them up and put them in the communal pot so that the school of prophets would have something to eat during the time of famine. But of course he didn't know what he was doing. He collected something poisonous, and it became immediately evident to the men when they tasted it that there was death in the pot. But the Lord wonderfully overruled. He provided for his prophets during these difficult days. They didn't die, and they were able to continue ministering to the faithful remnant of the day, as well as call the wayward to repentance towards God and faith in the coming Messiah. But this week, we move on to the next story. Whether it's the same group of men, I'm not entirely sure. Maybe. Commentators don't seem to know for sure. But it's entitled, isn't it, in the New International Version, as the Feeding of the 100. And we ask the question again, what is this passage all about? What is it teaching us? This is one of the big challenges as we look at some of these Old Testament stories. I'm looking forward to getting to chapter 6, where we look at the axe head that floats in the water. What on earth is that story, that record, all about? Well, I think this little passage that we're looking at this evening impresses upon us God's disciples' inadequacy and God's adequacy. The story, of course, begins with a faithful gift. A faithful gift. It comes from a man whose name is difficult to pronounce, Baal Shalishah. He brings to the man of God, verse 42, 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. And we might ask the question, why did he bring this to the man of God? I suspect it was probably because he didn't want to take his first fruits to the priests in Bethel or Dan that had been appointed by the wicked King Jeroboam. You see, these faithless prophets had been contaminated by Baal worship. They were basically apostate priests. Well, why would he want to support them? It seems he was much more concerned than to bring his first fruits, his gifts to the prophet of the Lord, namely Elisha.
And actually, even as we read this evening, it's a tremendous encouragement. Because here we find a faithful man of God in the midst of a terribly apostate nation. And it's often the way, isn't it, that in wicked and dark places, God's faithful servants can be found. Lights, stars, we might say, shining in the darkness. Well, as I say, this story emphasizes the fact that God's people are inadequate, but God is adequate, and he can make up for his people's inadequacies. What is it that Elisha says? Give it to the people to eat. These instructions, of course, are given to his servant Gehazi. But Gehazi replies, how can I set this before 100 men? What you're asking me to do is impossible. There's not enough food here to go round. We're talking about needing to feed 100 hungry men. I wonder what this story reminds you of. I'm sure it reminds you of the feeding of the 5,000 in the Gospels, or perhaps the feeding of the 4,000. Do you remember Andrew's words to the Lord Jesus when Jesus fed the 5,000 plus? Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? I wonder whether we would have said something similar to Gehazi or something similar to Andrew. Probably. I think I probably would have. But look at the confidence of Elisha. He's confident in what God is able to do and indeed has promised to do. But Elisha answered, give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says, they will eat and have some left over. Again, we're reminded, aren't we, of the story in the Gospels of the feeding of the 5,000 as well as the feeding of the 4,000. Then he set it before them and they ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord. Here was Gehazi, and he was fully aware of his own inadequacy. There was no way that he could ever hope to feed all these men with that which had been given. But you know, God is able to make up, isn't he, for his people's inadequacies. And I think this is a really important truth that God is wanting to impress upon us tonight and to take hold of and live and pray in the light of. There wasn't enough food, but God was able to multiply it. Indeed, it wasn't a difficult thing for God to multiply it. You know, we may feel a sense of frustration at our own inadequacy in Christian ministry. But God is not frustrated by our inadequacies, is he? As I was preparing for this evening, I was reminded of the story of the layman who got up into the pulpit one day. In fact, he was required to do so because the minister was unable to get to church because it had been snowing so much. And as the story goes, this particular individual wasn't much of a preacher. And so he took his text and basically kept on repeating it because he hadn't got much else to say. Sure, he was conscious of his own inadequacy. But I think there'll be some of you here this evening who will know who it was that was converted in that small primitive Methodist chapel as he preached, the young C.H. Spurgeon. A young man that went on to do incredible things for the Lord. I was talking to Ralph after the service this morning, and he was saying, we're so inadequate, aren't we? We can't open up people's eyes to see and believe. We can't unblock people's ears in order that they might hear and respond to the gospel. We can't soften people's hearts, their hard hearts, so that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so inadequate. And yet God is able to make up for our inadequacies. We can't save people, but he can. We can't satisfy people's deepest longings, but Jesus can. So we shouldn't get too disheartened, should we, by our inadequacies. In fact, it might be a good thing, I think it probably is a good thing, that we are conscious of our own weaknesses and failings, because it drives us to the Lord, who is able to do the impossible. Well, we know that we are weak, but we're looking to the Lord, aren't we, for his strength. When we know that we can't save, we look to God, who is able to save. This passage, I would argue, speaks about our inadequacy, but God's adequacy. Let's pray together, shall we? Our loving God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this evening. We don't really blame Gehazi for what he said, because we sense that we might have responded in the same way. But what a lesson he must have learnt that day. As indeed Andrew learnt an all-important lesson in his day, along with the rest of the disciples, that the people of God should not be limited by their inadequacies, but they worship and serve and minister before a God who is able to do great things. Thank you for this lovely little reminder this evening. We pray that you would impress your truth upon our minds, and may this truth be particularly evident in our prayers tonight as we come before you and ask you to do great things. We feel a sense, Lord, of our need of you doing great things in our land today. For there are many who live far from you, dead in their trespasses and sins. Lord, we look to you to cause people to be born again of your Spirit, as we seek to make the gospel known to them. Raise the dead, we pray. Perform mighty miracles, we ask. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.